Hello and welcome to JP Morgan's At Any Rate podcast channel. I am Luis Oganes, Head of Global Macro Research. We are excited to let our listeners know that we are expanding the breadth of At Any Rate beyond research insights on rates and credit markets, and will now also include discussions of our views on currencies, commodities, and emerging markets. We thought it would be valuable for our listeners to highlight broader insights from our research bench, given how interconnected and fast-moving markets are. Today's discussion will focus on commodities and will be led by my colleague, Natasha Kaneva, Head of Commodities Research. Over to you, Natasha.
Thank you, Luis. I'm Natasha Kaneva, head of JP Morgan Commodities Research. Welcome. With tensions between Russia and Ukraine on the rise, markets clearly have turned increasingly jittery over the last few weeks. Some of the nervousness is already reflected in the rise in global commodity prices, especially oil and PGMs. Yet, given the significant risk a conflict may pose to commodity supply, the further escalation and or potential disruption in exports would likely drive material further price increases across energy, metals, and agriculture. Today, I'm joined by Shika Chaturvedi, head of global gas at JP Morgan, Greg Shear, who heads our metals research, and Tracy Allen, who heads JP Morgan agricultural research. Welcome all. So clearly, when we look at the commodity space, the Russia's impact on the global energy balance is far-reaching. Even US, who is a major producer of both oil and gas, imports a significant amount of oil and gas, for that matter, into the country. Russia is one of the largest global oil producers. Its market share is about 12%. Russia is the second largest producer of natural gas globally and accounted for about 17% of total natural gas supply in 2020. Russia exports about 40% of its domestic production, majority of that is to Europe. Just to put some numbers there in the background, that Europe imports about 40% of all its gas from Russia. So when we look at the energy space, and especially looking at the outsized position and the Russia's outsized position in the energy markets, the price to oil, for example, it's very asymmetric. So for example, we estimate that such is the fundamental market tightness in oil today that under our best case scenario in which tensions between Russia and Ukraine de-escalate, we believe that the oil price will merely drop to about $84 per barrel. This is for the first quarter. For the year as a whole, we believe that the fair value of oil is about $90. But at the same time, any disruptions to oil flows from Russia in a context of low spare capacity in other regions, which we're observing currently in the market, could easily send oil prices to about $120 per barrel, whereas halving of Russian oil exports will drive Brent oil price to about $150. So Shika, on your side, when we look at the European natural gas prices, the risks to your base case scenario price forecast, are they also as asymmetrically skewed to the upside as they are in oil?
Hi, Natasha. Yes, that is absolutely correct. We are viewing a very similar situation of the asymmetric price risk that you just spoke about in oil for the European natural gas market. Given that European natural gas storage is now at precarious levels, just about around 40% full, which is more than 16 percentage points lower than the five-year average at this time of year. Any perceived further disruption to Russian natural gas imports could easily result in European natural gas price rising to and even above the high price that we observed in late December, which was 180 euros per megawatt hour. In reality, European natural gas prices should rise to near parity to Asian LNG prices to ensure that spot LNG cargoes find their way to Europe. But we imagine that the market would once again overshoot this price level given uncertainty in the length of the supply disruption. Russia accounts for, as you mentioned, a significant portion of natural gas imports into Europe through three main routes, which is Nord Stream 1 through Germany, the Yamal-Europe pipeline through Poland, and a trio of pipelines through Ukraine. And we think that this is where the primary risk of supply disruption is to occur through Ukraine, and if it were to occur. I just want to be very clear and emphasize that we assign a low probability that a reduction in supply from a retaliatory standpoint is likely to happen, but a disruption could even occur caused by infrastructure damage. And so if it were to occur, the countries that would probably be at risk are Italy, Austria, and Poland. And they receive their gas right now through Ukraine, and they're able to probably find other sources where they could actually tap into potentially. But it will still come at a very painful cost through price as we mentioned earlier, as Europe has to compete directly with Asia for LNG cargoes. And then the last thing I'll say is, of course, we have the market is contending with, and you can see it through the forward curve in TTF, some of the strong words that are coming out of the US regarding the ability for Nord Stream 2 to actually survive if there is a potential invasion into Ukraine.
Yes, Shika, thank you. The developments in the US natural gas prices yesterday. So I think it's in the news that the US natural gas futures for February delivery settled 46% higher yesterday. So that's the largest one-day gain on record. In your view, is this fundamentally driven move? Is this somehow related to Russia, to the tight fundamentals in the gas markets you just described?
Yeah, it was quite an impressive move to watch yesterday, but I don't believe that this price move was the result of any of the ongoing tensions between Russia and Ukraine. Rather, we think that it was colder changes to February weather forecast coinciding with the expiry of the February contract, which may have resulted in such a strong move in price at the front of the forward curve. Just to be clear, the US is nearly maxed out in what they can send into the global LNG market, which is it's contributing already to its tighter balance alongside with the recent colder changes in weather. But because the US is already participating as much as they can, they don't really have any capability to participate further with the global markets, particularly if you were to see further tightness occur in the European natural gas or global LNG balances. We in the US continue to believe that the storage trajectory this summer looks incredibly tight with our current and October storage trajectory now near 3.4 TCF. And this should continue to support higher prices this summer, though it's more like between 425 and 475 per MMBTU rather than what we saw in the February contract yesterday. But this is already embedded in our price forecast and things do look rather supportive for the US natural gas market going forward.
Thank you, Shika. So moving to metals, Greg, Russia is a major producer across nearly all of the major base and precious metals. Yes, when we look at the numbers, so it's about 4 to 6% of global refined production of copper, aluminum, nickel. Yes, that's Russian share. But then in the case of the PGMs, palladium, 40% market share, platinum, about 20% market share. So clearly a major producer. So a disruption in exports, in your opinion, what does it mean for your price forecasts?
Yeah, thanks, Natasha. Yeah, you're exactly right in terms of the large share. I do think in terms of ranking the bullish exposure across the metals, to me, aluminum, it has the most upside risk. You're talking about 14% of world ex China production coming from Russia. Within that, you know, exports are on a normalized basis, roughly around 3 million tons. There's also sort of not the capacity in terms of Chinese imports to really reorient this trade flow. Last year, Chinese imports of primary aluminum, smashed a new record, but were only 1.5 million tons. So you're talking about a market here that's already running very tight. Chinese supply is quite low. European supply, we're tracking something like 550 KMT or north of 10% of European production offline because of high power prices already. So any sort of disruption we see from Russian exports would be very significant. I mean, we have been bullish on aluminum, have a $3,000 per ton price average over the first quarter. We're trading about $100 above that at the moment, but I do think that you could see significant upside to that price forecast. If we look back in 2018, there's a proxy here with, you know, the sanctions that were placed on Rusal. We saw aluminum prices then increase about 25% in a matter of weeks as the supply chain really kind of grinded to a halt. So that's the one I think most directly just be given Russia's volumes as well as indirectly through the potential feed through of higher gas prices is the one most exposed. Next would be nickel and copper. So you're talking about 7 to 8% of world ex China production. To me, of these, nickel is the one that's most vulnerable. We've seen a pretty exceptional draw in stock levels over the last year. stocks on Alameda are quite low. You know, globally, we've fallen down to the lowest levels of demand cover since 2007. So from that perspective, you know, our price forecast is for $23,000 per ton. I do think you could see a few $1,000 upside if we were to see a material escalation here. And you're talking about 130 KMT of refined nickel exports from Russia. On the PGM side, you know, that's where the pain point really would be quite dramatic. You're talking about, like you said, 40% in palladium production. This is a key input into the auto supply chain. So if we were to see that, you know, exports to US, Europe, and Asia, you could see the auto supply chain grinding to a halt again on the back of a new supply chain bottleneck. You know, from that perspective, we have a forecast of 2,200 for palladium. We're trading a bit above that after the recent surge in the last 2 weeks. But I think that if there was a significant disruption, palladium, an extremely volatile market, could easily see material further upside. You know, just for a reference, we were in the palladium market, we were trading, you know, up towards 2,800 only last year. So, you know, there is still a significant amount of upside here, particularly given the backdrop here of light vehicle production firming. Platinum, I think, would likely tail it, but lag palladium. And then gold and silver, to me, you know, you have a significant production share, but they've reflected maybe more as a geopolitical tension in terms of a bullish driver. We've always been quite skeptical of buying into that on a long-term basis. When we look historically, it's very easy come, easy go. So I think that there you know, could be some upward pressure, but it's not something that I think would sustain for too long, particularly once the market gets a better sense of what's actually potentially going to happen.
Thank you, Greg. So Tracy, Russia became a major player, or Russia is a major player in the global agricultural markets. Wheat and corn are the most exposed agricultural markets to any potential escalation in tensions. So clearly the timing would dictate exportable volumes at risk. So in your view, could you please cover where you think the risks are, how asymmetric the risks are versus your base case scenarios?
Yeah, thanks, Natasha. This tension is playing out at a time of particularly tight exportable inventories across agricultural markets. So not only, as you point out, are key grain export markets involved, but of course, exportable supplies in alternate markets are very, very tight right now, which, you know, is a scenario for agricultural markets that presents a very, very bullish nature here. With respect specifically to Russia's wheat exports, as you mentioned, leading exporter, around 17-20% of market share in any given year. Now, the pace of Russia's exports so far this marketing year means that we're roughly over 70% done in terms of the volumes that are anticipated. However, Russia has been ratcheting back exports of wheat over the last year or so in response to low domestic production and very elevated domestic food prices, leaving essentially a very tight global market. So, you know, in the event that the remainder of wheat exports for this marketing year, which, by the way, already have quotas imposed, if that volume of around 8 to 10 million tons of wheat exports were not to make it out for whatever reason, you know, we do see the global wheat benchmark, the Chicago wheat benchmark, rising easily to around $9.50 to $11 per bushel. That's a minimum rally of around 20% from current spot levels. And it's also just worth noting that whilst the risk premium in the wheat market is moving around, we also have weather issues to contend with in the US, particularly around the winter wheat crop right now. So a lot in focus across wheat there. With respect to corn, it's an interesting situation where Ukraine is a very large corn exporter and producer, accounting for over 16% of total global corn exports. And in a similar vein to wheat, the exportable stocks around the world are at fairly low levels right now, the lowest in over a decade and a half. And this equally is bringing a lot of attention to exportable supplies of corn in the world market. In the event of any disruptions from Ukraine, we see scope for Chicago corn prices to rise to a minimum of $6.50 to $8.50 per bushel. The spot is trading around $6.30 at the moment. So as we can see, there is a fair bit of support in corn prices already. But as I mentioned, with any restrictions in that Ukrainian export flow, it would have significant ramifications for certainly Chicago, but more so for global corn and equally global wheat prices.
Thank you, Toshiko, Greg, and Tracy for joining me today. Thank you all to listening to the Commodities Edition at the JP Morgan's At Any Rate podcast. We look forward to continue the conversation next week. This communication is provided for information purposes only. Please refer to JP Morgan research reports related to its content for more information, including important disclosures. 2022, JP Morgan Chase & Company, all rights reserved. This episode was recorded on January 28th, 2022.